Old-fashioned football on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your money in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, including women's, UFL, and more. Sign up today using promo code OFFSGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
Hey, what's up? This is Sam Acho, and you're listening to Old Fashioned Football.
Old Fashioned Football.
Make this deal right now, you pancake eating mother.
All right, deal.
Old-fashioned football.
Welcome to Old Fashioned Football. If you're wondering who you're listening to, this is J Mark. You can find me on the X at J Mark Football. And if you're wondering who us is, before we get started talking about the NFL draft, I got to bring in my co-host on the pod and in life. You can find her on the X at the Mer Mark. You can find us at Old Fashioned FB. Mer, how you doing today?
It's been a Monday of a Thursday.
A Monday of a Thursday.
Does that come out?
Y'all
right?
Caught me in the middle of pouring us some whiskey.
This whiskey's needed. I messed this up today because you're like, do you want to make an old fashioned with this? I'm getting to the whiskey early, obviously.
Apparently.
No, I wanted to try this just neat. I didn't want the old fashioned to ruin the try of this. I was really excited for this one. So I'm just going to jump ahead and tell everybody what we're trying today.
Miranda, what are we drinking today?
It is a very special bottle that was sent to us. Two Clans. I don't think you can get this anymore.
If you can, run to Breckenridge Distillery right now to get it.
Months ago, he said there was only 3 weeks left of this.
February. We're in April.
Months ago, plural. From Breckenridge Distillery, it's their Two Clans, which before they were out of it, it was something that was only available at the distillery there.
Yes. And we'll get to what it is and everything. First, we're going to talk about the NFL draft because we're 3 weeks away from it.
Crazy.
In three Thursdays, it will be the 2024 NFL draft. And we want to get you a little prepped because maybe you don't watch college football. Maybe you're NFL only and you're like, who in the world are these people? And pretty soon you're going to have to draft them in fantasy football or decide if you want to not draft them, one of the two. So this show is going to kind of be a little bit of just going over some of the bigger names, where they may land, kind of what we think about them, fantasy football. Not deep dive because there's a lot to cover. But are you excited? Do you have one player that's – I'm sure there's one player that's really sticking out because he's all over everything for Bears.
Caleb Williams.
Hopefully everybody saw the video of him with his painted fingernails. His dad was asking him about it. And his pink phone case that his dad was asking about. And he said his lips were pink, just like your girl likes them. I don't know. I'm just not sure how that personality is going to fit.
The locker room is already telling him to leave Hollywood in California.
Yes, they are. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You know what, though? Mm-hmm. Maybe we need a big personality. Maybe they need that because the last quarterback that had a lot of success for Chicago was Jim McMahon, who had a very big personality. Now,
so maybe he
wasn't painting his nails and stuff, but still a big personality.
Can you imagine Jim McMahon with pink fingernails?
No, I cannot. Not at all. And nothing, you know, I don't care if Caleb Williams wears a pink thong to the beach. If he wins football games for the Bears, I don't give a shit. But, you know, it is
a pink Speedo thong.
Yeah, the Borat one. Wear that.
Oh, man.
Which I have. Don't ask.
Thanks.
Not that, thanks that I for, use, for... just that I have as a 30, that was my 30th birthday. that Mr. Fortune gifted that to me.
Which, speaking of birthdays and speaking of Fortune,
yeah,
I want to give a special shout out to Mrs. Katie Fortune. It is her birthday today. So happy birthday, Katie.
Yes, happy birthday, Miss Fortune. Oh, Mrs. Fortune, not Miss Fortune.
No.
Real quick, of course, you're listening to Old Fashioned Football on SGPN, but did you know that SGPN's home to 20-plus podcasts, a lot of them gambling related, win you some money? And this week's featured show is the MLB gambling podcast. Baseball is back, and so is the MLB crew with their free daily picks. And I'll tell you what, they are hitting it out of the park already. If you aren't already subscribed to MLB gambling podcast, what the hell are you waiting for? Go over there and subscribe. Before we get into the draft, there was a kind of a big deal yesterday.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
It feels like a week ago.
No, it was
yesterday. This was yesterday.
It was just yesterday.
We talked about this yesterday?
Yes, yesterday morning.
I swear we talked about this days ago.
No, we actually predicted this. We talked about it on our show months ago.
Okay. I swear this was not yesterday. But yesterday, no, I wanted to talk about this today. I just wasn't thinking it was yesterday.
It was yesterday, I promise.
But
you.
Stephon Diggs, yes. He was traded to the Texans from the Bills. And I've got lots of questions. Like, how is this going to impact Josh Allen? Like, he does not have a lot of proven wide receivers right now.
Right.
However, like, I think Diggs was kind of becoming a problem in the locker room. There's a lot of locker room drama with him.
I did tweet congratulating the Buffalo Bills on their being cancer-free as of yesterday. And some of the Bills fans, Adam in particular, did not care for that. He said he would fight me. But
well, yeah, they just lost. I don't know what to think about. Like,
I don't know. He was a problem.
I think so. Maybe he'll change his attitude. The Texans, though, they're gaining Stephon Diggs.
Right.
I was already, you know, the Texans are like my number two to the Bears.
Yeah.
They
have a good offense.
They do. I love this team.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud, he's going to continue to be a top 10 quarterback, in my opinion.
I thought he was going to regress, but this makes me think not.
You thought he was going to regress?
Just a little bit.
Just get out. Get out. So, but my question here, though, is how does this affect Nico and Tank?
Yeah.
Because you're bringing in
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs. He is 30. He's past his prime. He's not 26 anymore. Gosh, to say 30 is past your prime.
You know, it's interesting to me I have several thoughts on this. First of all, how happy is Josh Allen going to be in week two when Stephon Diggs is complaining that he only got 7 targets instead of 10 or something? Because he did complain 2 years ago in the playoff game that they didn't throw him the ball enough. He literally said, I can't throw the ball to myself, even though he was targeted 10 times. That's a lot of targets.
And he's going to a team with these young quarterback, these young wide receivers,
yeah,
who all built all this chemistry last year.
And when's the last time a 30-year-old wide receiver went to his third team and had a ton of success? You know, the Vikings shipped
him out. I don't want
him
to be a cancer to my Texans.
Well, he needs to change his attitude. The Vikings shipped him out because he was that in their locker room. Now we saw it with the Bills, with him becoming a problem. And this dude can't run his mouth when he dropped that huge pass against the Chiefs, where any NFL caliber wide receiver should have caught it. Mm-hmm. And that would have likely put them ahead in the game. So I don't want to hear it from him personally. I actually don't like this. I like this move football wise for the Texans. I don't like it fantasy football wise, because this puts a little bit of a cloud on Nico and Tank.
It kind of does. Yeah. But you do have, I don't think in those deep, like, keeper leagues, dynasty leagues, that it's that much of a cloud, because like we just said, Stephon Diggs, he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
Nico and Tank are coming into their prime.
Right. Yeah. It's just a matter of how much he plays it's a me team, you know, the I in team. There ain't no I in team, but he tends to be that guy. So we'll see.
We'll see. We will see.
We will see. We already covered what we were drinking today. That
sure
was going to be next on my checklist. So we might as well jump right into the draft,
mm-hmm,
which we said already three weeks from now.
I know.
And before we get to that, we're running a contest.
We are.
It is officially live. You go to sg.pn/OFF contest.
Slash.
Yeah. I got to do is provide your contact. Now, whether that's email, your Twitter handle, some way we can contact you. This is not, you're not getting put on some mailing list.
We are not shipping out your email address.
Right. Exactly.
Anything.
It's simply just so we can contact you if you win. You have to send a screenshot that you're subscribed. So if you're listening to us on YouTube, you're already ahead of the game because you are likely already subscribed. And then maybe somebody referred you to us. You can get them an extra entry if you put their name down. We need their full name. But we got so many autographed items to give away.
We do.
We have a Darren Waller autographed jersey. D'Andre Swift, who now is now a Bear, but it is his Eagle jersey. Frank Gore, Jackson Smith and Jigba, J.K. Dobbins, Tyler Allgaier. I mean, the list goes on and on. We'll have a full photo lineup so you can see that.
We'll put a picture on Insta.
Yeah, Insta.
You can see all the items.
We'll have a short on Insta and on YouTube for it, I think. We'll get it out to the socials, but sg.pn/OFF contest is where you need to go. That'll direct you to the form. And it's going to be exciting because once you get entered, you go on the randomizer wheel, which if you've watched our giveaways, you've seen it before. That's going to spin around and around and around. And the first person picked gets the first draft pick. So they get to pick what they want. Second person gets second pick and so on and so forth. I think it's going to be a fun way to do
fun.
It. Yeah, for sure.
And when are we doing the draft?
Well, that's a bit of a question because you are going to be gone at the end of April.
Into May.
Yeah. So I think the first week of May, once you're back, we'll hop on. Even if it's just for a short episode, we're going to hop on and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have till the end of April, even past the draft, to get entered, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
Miranda?
Yes.
Let's talk about some quarterback needy teams.
Okay. So quarterback needy teams, obvious, the Bears. The Commanders, you got the Patriots, the Giants, the Vikings. We had got the Broncos and the Raiders.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, your obvious ones, the Bears and the Commanders, the Patriots and Broncos are all looking to draft a starter this year.
Yeah. I think so because they don't really have a proven guy on the roster.
No.
None of them.
So with that, I'm going to give you some stats and we're going to talk about somebody we've already mentioned. But well,
Mr. Hollywood,
who we're looking at as most likely to be the number one draft pick.
Yeah,
it would blow my mind, but then I'd have to tell myself it shouldn't if we don't pick him. But Caleb Williams. So last year he had 3,674 passing yards, 30 touchdowns and 5 interceptions,
which is pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it is. We liked his stats more than Justin Fields when we broke it down.
Yeah, true.
Obviously, potential landing spots. It's the Bears unless.
I think it's unquestioned at this point.
It should be, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But I won't put all my money on anything that the Bears do.
Because it's the Bears.
Yeah. So, he's being compared right now to Kyler Murray. We've heard Patrick Mahomes in there too. A lot of his throws.
Yeah.
At
first I was like Kyler Patrick. Murray, but mm-hmm. I think part of the comparison is the mobility, the big arm and the size. He's little. You know how I feel about little quarterbacks. He is taller than Bryce Young, but barely. I feel like barely. He's 6 foot and like 3/4 or something like that. He's barely taller than me. And I don't think I could be an NFL quarterback that could see over offensive linemen that are 6'6". But anyways.
All right.
Go on.
So looking at our fantasy outlook here, should he go to the Bears, he'll have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, potential rookie wide receiver, depending on how the draft goes. I think, no matter what, I think Caleb Williams is going to be drafted high any fantasy league.
In a super flex dynasty rookie draft, he'll be the 101, no doubt in my mind.
Yes. And in an auction league, I see him going over 20.
Yeah, there's so much hype behind him that I agree. Everybody's going to bid him up.
But I also think right out of the gate, I think he could be a top 12 quarterback.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. You know what? I was thinking about this, and Fields 2 years ago was a top 10. Last year he wasn't. He had some injuries, but 2 years ago he was a top 10. And I honestly think that Caleb Williams, with his arm talent, he can scramble some. He doesn't have the same athleticism as Fields, but he can scramble some. I think his floor is probably what Fields was then. I hate to say that. I love Justin Fields. I don't like Caleb Williams. You all know that. I'm not going to flip now, but I do think they've built this up for him to succeed.
I do.
And so I think fantasy football wise, he is going to be a good option. I hope he can turn that into wins for our Bears.
And just,
but we're talking fantasy football.
Fantasy football wise though, too, on the, just to look at Justin Fields leaving the Bears and becoming a QB2.
Yeah.
Behind Russ Wilson left on the Steelers. Bears
for a box of Cracker Jacks.
Well, and think of all the people who I know in our fantasy leagues, our keeper leagues, that where you contract people for a certain amount of years. Fields is taking up capital for people.
That's me in a lot of leagues.
It is you.
In a lot.
In a lot.
In some of our dynasty leagues, I put them on the trade block in case somebody is like, hey, you know what? Russ ain't shit. It's going to be Fields' team. Maybe I can get something, but I have a lot invested in Justin Fields shares, and it's not looking good for me at all.
It's not.
No.
I am glad I don't have to mess with that in our keeper leagues.
Yeah. It's rough. Hey, real quick, before we keep talking about these quarterbacks, I want to let you know that we're brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. And it's a better way to bet against people, whether it's your friends or somebody running their mouth on the internet. You know, you always make those bets with somebody on the internet and then they lose and they disappear, never pay. You don't have to worry about that with Cut. They handle everything, the payment side of things. And you can set your own lines. You just say, hey, I think this should be a thing. And then just get people to bet against you. There's some UFL ones we threw out there to start the UFL season. Check out the UFL Gambling Podcast, a little shameless plug for one of my other pods. But yeah, there's group chats, leaderboards, head-to-head history. You can see how you're doing against other people. And you get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. And if it's still out there, Darius Victor had a tough start in the UFL. However, you could bet him to lead the league in touchdowns. I think at this point, I would bet against it right now. Download Cut today in the App Store over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. And use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus.
We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Play Underdog's Pick'em. It is so easy. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or a lower start total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. All you have to do is pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. And don't forget, you can draft your best ball teams now. I did my first best ball team draft last year, and I made my money back. And you better believe that this year I'm going to win a lot more. For tomorrow night, listen up. This is easy. I've got Connecticut's Paige Buckers will come out firing higher than 6.5 points in the first quarter. And then Iowa's Caitlin Clark, higher than 51.5 points plus rebounds and assists. Just put these in for 3 times your money and follow our socials because it looks like we'll have UFL Pick'em soon. Sign up today with promo code OFFSGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code OFFSGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special.
Don't forget, you must be 18 plus and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All righty. We are back. Did you have anything else you wanted to add on Caleb Williams? Besides that, he's likely going to be a Bear. And yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I want to talk about the guy that it would just be like, it would be like the Bears to draft him because I feel like he's almost the Mitch Trubisky. Don't jinx us. Knock on wood. Drake May. I feel like he's the Mitch Trubisky of the class. I'm not just saying that because he's from North Carolina, but anyways, last year he had 3,608 yards, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. The landing spots I'm hearing, maybe Washington or New England. There's some people that think it could go Caleb Williams, then J.J. McCarthy, and then the guy that you're going to talk about next, Jaden Daniels. and that Drake May could fall some, whether that would be to the Giants, the Vikings, we don't know. I think the Vikings are going to trade up for a quarterback. But anyways, he's compared to Justin Herbert, which is a good comparison. Herbert's a good quarterback. And I've watched his game tape, and I feel like he's Mitch Trubisky with a better arm. Maybe not. He does have the sneaky upside of scrambling like Trubisky had. So for fantasy football, I don't know. I don't feel if like he's going to be a top-notch NFL quarterback. You know me, I'm very opinionated mm-hmm. with these things. I said it with Bryce Young. I'm saying it with Drake May. I don't feel like he's going to be this guy that sees a ton of success. And for me, especially if he lands with New England this year, he's going to struggle if he's with New England because they're in this big rebuild. And I think they need more than just Drake May. And I don't think he's the guy that's going to give that to them. So if you see him go to New England, I would stay away. He's going to be drafted in dynasty leagues. That's obvious. But in your redraft leagues, I don't think I'm drafting him, to be honest. I know he's going to be probably a top pick, but I think I'm staying away.
All right, Justin. You mentioned Jaden Daniels, so I'm going to talk about him. Last year, he had 3,811 passing yards, 40 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions.
It's a lot of touchdowns.
It is a lot.
That's more than Caleb Williams.
And less interceptions.
Yes.
Just saying.
Just throwing that out there. but he is not meeting with the Bears.
He is not.
They're making it like obvious that, hey, we're not taking this guy.
Yeah. Yep. So when looking at some potential landing spots for him, I'm thinking possibly Washington or New England. He's been,
not to interrupt you, sorry, but that's the number 2 and the number 3 picks there, Washington, yes, right now, unless they trade. Yes.
But Washington needs a starting quarterback. So
yeah,
he's been compared to RG3, Robert Griffin, the third. It's been a while
pre-injury.
He's a what?
I was going to say a crackpot. Now the things he says on his show just seem nuts to me. Did you spill your whiskey?
Did. I don't know how it happened.
Continue talking about Jaden Daniels.
I knew you were going to be upset. Okay. Yeah, so he's been compared to RG3. He takes a lot. This guy takes a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Far too many for the NFL, in my opinion. I have concerns that he could become injured like Anthony Richardson.
That's exactly what we said about him last year. Too many hits. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Too many hits. But he does have elite rushing ability, true, similar to Lamar Jackson.
That's true. And I think he's got a better arm than Lamar.
So for fantasy football, because of that rushing ability, mm-hmm, I have him graded a little higher and think that he is a potential top 15 quarterback.
Yeah.
If he goes to Washington, I'm just going to throw that out there. So sorry, Cody Zeeb, if you're listening. I feel like maybe top 20 if it's New England.
If he is listening, he no longer is. He has turned it off. <It's> like, that's probably the second or third bash to New England. Sorry, Cody.
I just feel like anytime we talk about New England, we're not saying anything positive.
It's going to be hard for them to live up.
I always feel like I'm apologizing to Cody on our show because
I'm not apologizing because Cody knows it's going to be hard for the New England to live up to the Belichick Brady years.
It is. Like, how do you come back from that?
Yeah. Nothing you can do about it.
How do you rebuild after that and top that? You don't.
You don't. I'm going to talk about JJ McCarthy out of Michigan. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that's growing a lot of steam after his pro day. You can't be fooled by pro days. I just want to say that. Cannot be. Johnny Manziel had a great pro day too, and look how he went. 2,291 passing yards, so not a ton. 22 passing touchdowns, not a ton. 4 interceptions, pretty good. I think he lands with the Giants or the Vikings, though I've seen some people saying that the Commanders could take him at 2. I already went ahead and placed a bet on that just in case it happens. It was a good payout. His pro comp is Baker Mayfield, who wasn't great to start with, but did pretty good last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think he's still a bit of a project. However, at Michigan, he's run that pro-style offense, and he's got experience with that. And there's just this growing hype for him. Now, I know neither of us are scouts. A lot of the scouts a lot of the scouts have growing hype for this guy. I think he's going to be a good dynasty option. Mm-hmm. I just, for this year, he's bottom half as a fantasy football quarterback for me. Bottom half quarterbacks. So if you're in a redraft, I don't know if I'd draft him. But dynasty, I think he's going to have a good career. I think he's going to be solid.
Yeah. Just not not yet.
Yes.
All right. Bo Nix is the next guy I want to talk about.
More like Mo Nix. That's what, sorry, that's what Cody said to me, because he thinks Patriots might draft him in the second round. And said, no Nix. And he said, more like Mo Nix. Anyways, go on. Sorry.
I do have Patriots listed as a potential landing spot. So Bo Nix last year had 4,454 yards, 45 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions.
That's the best we've read so
far. It is the best we've read so far.
Yes. But that Oregon offense, it moves a little differently, but.
Yeah. So some potential landing spots. I know I mentioned the Patriots, but I've also got the Broncos, the Giants, the Vikings, and the Raiders. So there's a lot of potential landing spots here. His pro comp. So he's been compared to none other than the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton. And he's got like that starting caliber, like arms and legs.
Yeah, he does.
So fantasy football outlook for him. I honestly think he has some improving to do to up his game. He's another like JJ McCarthy. He's got good, like a good dynasty option.
Yeah.
But bottom half of the quarterbacks this year.
Has some growing to do.
Yeah, but however, though, I will throw in this caveat that his landing spot is what's going to really
depend there. If he lands with, say, the Vikings, and he has Jay Jettas and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson and wins the job from Sam Darnold, then maybe that's somebody to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree. If he lands, let's say, on the Patriots, then no.
Cody.
This is the Bash Cody's Patriots episode.
Next on the NASCAR gambling podcast, the next time they're going to find some way to bash us something.
This race is in Iowa, which sucks. I want to talk about Michael Penix. I'm really interested. I don't know if we even mentioned this. I don't think we did. Next week, we're going to have Colby Dant on
the Dantabase.
Yeah, on our show. If you are unaware of who that is, he is the college football guru. He knows so much college football. It's crazy. I'm really interested to get his thoughts on this guy's pro career, because he was a big fan of him at Washington, Michael Penix. And we talked about better stats. Here's better stats again. Last year, 4,906 yards, almost 5,000 yards, 36 touchdowns. He did have 11 interceptions, though. But a lot of yards. Potential landing spots that I've seen are the Broncos and the Raiders. I think the Raiders want him from everything I've seen. His pro comp is Carson Palmer or a discount CJ Stroud.
Discount.
So not CJ Stroud's level,
but a similar. Discount.
Yeah.
To be determined.
Like if you ordered CJ Stroud on Wish, this is who you would get.
Or at Temu. Isn't Temu? It Temu yeah. now? It's Temu.
Or like you could go to, let's say, Target and get CJ Stroud, or go to Walmart and get Michael Penix, you know, whatever.
I like the Wish or Temu.
Yeah, okay. All right. Fair enough.
Temu is a thing. Isn't that what my cousin was doing? She got us to sign up so she could get all this free stuff. Okay. Yeah.
He's a hard one for me to get a read on, to be honest. But I think he could have a decent career in the NFL. This is why I'm really looking forward to what Colby has to say. I don't think it's this year. I think he's another one that he's a dynasty prospect. But I don't know. He could have a really good NFL career and could surprise some people. There's always there's always people at every position that it's like, holy shit, I didn't see them having that kind of a year. Mm-hmm. We didn't see CJ Stroud being rookie of the year right away.
No.
And he is. So that's kind of, I'm not saying Penix is going to be the rookie of the year, but I think he's one that could surprise.
The discount rookie of the year.
The discount rookie of the year, exactly. So yeah, those are some quarterback names to keep an eye on that as you hit your drafts, you're going to want to be familiar with them.
All right. We've got running backs up next.
I'm going to start with the running backs here. So the teams that need to draft are the Cowboys, Chargers, Giants, Raiders, Bucks. But I think really it comes down to who's going to be the starter for the Cowboys and who's going to be the starter for the Giants. Because the Chargers do have Gus Bus that they could rely on. Mm-hmm. The Raiders do have Zamir White, who they apparently love. And the Bucks, they have, they have a couple different guys, but you know, I think it's the Cowboys and the Giants. That's just my opinion. This isn't a great running back class. There's no Bijan Robinsons. No. There's no Jahmyr Gibbs.
I think the excitement over running backs happened in the free agency.
Yeah. All the moving. Oh, around. Yeah.
That it was.
And that's exactly why I think there's not a lot of teams looking for a starter. Mm-hmm. You saw running backs get paid this year compared to last year.
Absolutely. So we've also got Blake Corum out of Michigan.
Well, we didn't talk about the first guy. Do you want to talk about the first guy or you want me to?
Oh, I was just going to go with my guy. You talk about your first guy.
All right.
Sorry, the dog distracted me. I didn't even pay attention that you hadn't good. Talked about your guy.
Yeah. Jonathan Brooks out of Texas last year had 1,135 yards, 10 rushing touchdowns. This has Dallas written all over it, and mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. He tore his ACL, I believe it was in November, but the Dallas Cowboys doctor is the one that did the surgery on him and said he's good to go. His pro comp is Jamal Charles, who had some successful years, short-lived, but successful years for the Chiefs. And, you know, if he lands on the Cowboys, they don't have a lot of competition. Mm-hmm. So he will be their starting running back. And for me, that's going to put him at an RB2 fantasy football-wise.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that if he doesn't have any issues.
Right.
With that ACL.
Yep.
All right, now I'm going to talk about Blake Corum out of Michigan.
Yes.
Last year, he had 1,245 rushing yards and 27 touchdowns. I know we just talked about the Cowboys, but I do think that the Cowboys are another potential landing spot for him, along with the Chargers.
Yeah.
This
is Harbaugh's guy. It would not surprise me to see him reach and take Blake Corum.
Yes.
But anyways,
his pro comp, Khalil Herbert. Mm-hmm. He's a good pass catching back.
Yeah, better than Herbert, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Poor Herbert. it is what it is.
He doesn't have great hands.
No. So his fantasy outlook, I think he could be good on the Chargers or Cowboys offense, either one, and be an RB2 if he's the starter.
Yeah. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I like Blake Corum's game. It really just depends where he's going to land. Nick Fortune checking in. Evening, folks. What's up? We already wished Katie happy birthday, but since you're just checking it. Out or checking in now.
You better be spoiling Katie.
Yeah.
Like, what are you? I mean, I'm happy you checked in, but what are you doing?
Now, Nick was going to make Katie a cake. He was going to make her a cake for her birthday. And she said, that's okay. I want to make the cake. She didn't let him make the cake. But he did get her a cake spinner. So like when you're decorating.
Oh, for frosting?
Yeah, because we've seen her baked goods. They're very good.
She's a baker.
She is a
baker.
Katie
is a baker.
But now, yeah, she's got a spinner so that she can spin and frost. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's get back to running backs. Happy birthday, Katie.
Yes, happy birthday. Again.
Again, I want to talk about Trey Benson out of Florida State. Only had 905 yards, but 14 touchdowns. Could land maybe Cowboys, maybe the Raiders. Maybe he's kind of the thunder to Zamir White Lightning for the Raiders. And then his pro comp, Todd Gurley, who, you know, you think of these guys, you say these names out loud, and it's like, oh, yeah, this guy was he was one of the guys that in the first round. You're like, oh, I got Todd Gurley. Mm-hmm. And then he was just gone. Like, just gone. Mm-hmm. Like, crazy. Benson's got really good size. To me, he's one of the better sized backs in this draft. And I think he could be the best NFL ready back, actually. I just don't know if everybody's going to view him that way. And it depends where he lands. But in the right offense, he could be an RB2 if he wins a starting job. Fantasy football RB2, that is. If he wins the job, he's obviously RB1 of that team.
You think? You good over there?
I'm good.
All right. We've also got Ray Davis out of Kentucky. Last year, he had 1,131 rushing yards and only 14 touchdowns. Some potential landing spots for him. We've got the Giants, the Chargers, and the Raiders. He is being compared to D'Ernest Johnson. D'Ernest Johnson. Yeah.
I don't think that's a fair comparison just because I think he's better than D'Ernest. But
oh, well, now I just apologize to him and now you're just dissing him. So
he's a fan of the show too. So he's probably going to be offended.
I know. We just offended D'Ernest. So I couldn't even pronounce his name correctly.
He's no longer a fan of our show. Anyways,
he tuned out. Yeah. He's got some quick and good like ability to cut.
Yeah.
So for fantasy football outlook, I think Ray Davis is an underrated back.
Mm-hmm.
Better than Deer Nest.
He's a good pass catcher too, and I don't hear a lot of people talking about that. So,
and I think like he could, you know, he could surprise people. I still don't know if he'll be an RB2 caliber, maybe a low RB2 flex.
Yeah, especially to start with. I agree with that. Just we left some guys. There's other running backs in this class. It's not a stacked class, but these guys, they could end up having. We just talked about how quarterbacks can just jump up. Running backs can jump up. I mean, I know you were big on Jahmyr Gibbs, but there were some people that weren't.
Rightfully so.
And he did great.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. But there's always rookies that surprise. So, I mean, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee is another one. He's compared to Melvin Gordon. There's Bucky Irving out of Oregon, who's also another good running back. So we're going to ask Colby next week, what's a running back that could really surprise people, and kind of get his
dynasty leagues. I mean, this matters.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because you might not be drafting for this year. I mean, in dynasty leagues, it's kind of like pool. You got to think a couple shots ahead, a
couple years ahead.
Yep. Got to think a couple years ahead.
Oh my goodness.
Are you okay?
I'm having issues. Clearly. I told you this is a Monday, the most Mondayest Thursday.
Does this make you feel better if I do this? YouTube.com/@old-fashioned-football old-fashioned-football.
No, it doesn't make me feel better. No, Justin. You cut your hair too short for that.
Armando checking in saying, do you guys think Caleb Williams would be a good first-round fantasy quarterback? I think so, because he's going to the Bears.
I see him going pretty early in drafts.
I mean, it depends if you're in a super flex or just a standard league, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they've got him set up for success. He has no excuses not to put up good stats with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. DeAndre Swift is a perfect running back out of the backfield for a rookie quarterback. And then they brought in Gerald Everett, who is a good red zone tight end.
Yeah. And I definitely see Caleb Williams having that potential to be a top 12 quarterback.
Yeah.
And if you're in an auction league, he's going to go over $20 easily.
Agreed.
It's going to be a bidding war.
And they might, we're going to talk about wide receivers here. They could still draft a wide receiver. The Bears have the first draft pick to take Caleb and the ninth, which they could get an edge rusher for their defense, or they could get a top tackle, or they could get one of the top wide receivers. I mean, the options that they're going to have at that spot, especially if there's a run on quarterback, is going to be insane in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Caleb Williams is going to come in there. The Bears would just be so stupid not to take him at number one.
Yeah, they're taking him.
But he's going to come in there and just have awesome weapons.
I think if they weren't taking Caleb Williams, they would have kept Fields to compete with whoever they took, to be honest. I think for them.
Because it's not like he was taking up a lot of their cap
or anything.
Yeah, their cap.
Caleb Williams needed to come in.
Gave him away for a bag of chips.
He did. He needed to come in where.
Sorry.
He doesn't have to compete. I think that's kind of an ego thing for him, which is one of my flaws for him. But yeah, thanks for checking in, Armando. Don't forget to subscribe. We're running a contest. You could win some autographed items, NFL items, autographed jerseys or mini helmet.
Why don't you go through what some of those things are?
Yeah, we got Darren Waller signed jersey, which I know that's not that exciting because he's Giants, but we also got Jackson Smith and Jigba, and it's their sweet blue and teal green or whatever color green that is. I'm not good with colors. Teal. Everybody knows that. Highlighter green, that's what I call it. J.K. Dobbins mini helmet that is the lunar eclipse. It's white with the purple raven on it. Frank Gore, a legend for the Niners. All you got to do is go to sg.pn/OFF contest. Sign up for the contest there. All you got to do is be subscribed. That's it. That's all you have to do to get entered. So should be a good time. And shout out to RD. He made it.
Woo.
Birthday week. Yes, it is. And then Armando says, Joe Alt, the tackle, or Rome Odunze at 9. You know, I think they need the O-line help, but Odunze, you know, we got Keenan Allen. Sorry, I hope you don't mind me answering.
No, go ahead. In. Go ahead, Justin.
We got Keenan Allen, who I think is a good talent, but he is on the back end of his career.
He is
31 years
old. He is technically past his prime.
And
he's got more left in him.
Yeah. We're about to talk about guys like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, who are generational guys. If they weren't in this draft out of like the past 10 years, I think Rome Odunze could be argued that he's the number one wide receiver in the draft. because you have Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers, I don't think so. But yeah, I mean, they couldn't go wrong with a good tackle to help protect Caleb Williams or getting the wide receiver like Odunze. Let's jump into these wide receivers.
Let's do. Well, you, so first, before we jump into Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yes.
it is, like you said, a loaded wide receiver class.
It is.
Teams looking to get some wide receiver help. We've got the Patriots because they need all the help they can get. Cody's
just, sorry, Cody.
We're just on a roll with these Patriots jabs, and I'm just going to keep rolling.
I think
with
he'll
it.
Agree with us. It's okay.
Yeah. The Cardinals, you've got the Giants, the Broncos, Saints, Colts, and Steelers. They all really need that wide receiver help. So bring in Marvin Jr. from Ohio State. Marvin Harrison.
Marvin.
Marvin Harrison.
You're just combining their names. Just... Marvinson.
I'm telling you, Monday is Thursday ever. Everything is going to shit on me. Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. Last year, for stats, he had 1,211 receiving yards, 14 receiving touchdowns. I really think for potential landing spots, he could land on the Patriots or the Cardinals. He has been compared, so for his pro comp, to a taller Davante Adams,
who obviously is an excellent receiver.
So not discount CJ Stroud, but
right,
taller Davante Adams.
Yeah. He's a generational player, mm-hmm. in my opinion. His father was an excellent receiver. I think he's going to be an excellent receiver as well.
Yeah, and I think everybody has Marvin Harrison or Malik first.
Yeah,
you know?
There's that back and forth on which one. I think it's Marvin Harrison, but
either way, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvinson. I almost did it again. He's gonna have a really good career. So fantasy outlook for sure, a wide receiver two, potentially wide receiver one, depending on where he goes and who he has throwing to him. I think he's likely going to go at two or three for dynasty rookie drafts.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be drafted high value in auction drafts.
Yeah, I think you'll probably see a lot of people take Caleb Williams at the 101. Mm-hmm. And then it's probably going to be Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers. RD wants a Marvinson Jr. on an OFF hoodie. I just put that on there.
Thanks. So, yeah. I'll do it for you. We'll make that happen.
We'll have to reach out to the merch god Jr. there. Yeah, let's talk about Malik Nabers, the other guy we mentioned at LSU. 1,500 receiving mm-hmm. yards, 14 receiving touchdowns. I think the Cardinals, if they don't trade out, I think the Cardinals take Marvin Harrison Jr.
This is going to be a thing for me. Will. I'm never going to not say Marvinson now, and I hate that.
Right.
This is what's going to come out.
If Patriots don't take a quarterback for some reason, they'll take Marvin Harrison. But if they do, then I think it'll be the Cardinals, unless they trade out, like I said, who take him. And then Malik Nabers will fall to the Chargers, who just got rid of Mike Williams, who just got rid of Keenan Allen, and now they mm-hmm. need a new guy. He's been compared to Antonio Brown, who, before he went crazy and took his jersey off mid-game and ran off the field, was an extremely good wide receiver. Malik Nabers has elite separation, elite mm-hmm. athleticism, and I think that's why some people say, hey, he might be the number one guy. He had an excellent pro day. He looked great in everything he's done. He's another guy that he's going to be highly drafted.
Yeah,
he
lands in dynasty and like those rookie drafts, and I think auction, high value in auction.
Yeah. I mean, if he lands with Justin Herbert throwing to him, I think he's going to be a top guy. Now, if he lands with Dan Jones and or rookie throwing to him,
we're
maybe
back
not
to Daniel
good,
Jones, right? Daniel he lost. Jones, yeah. He like gained the rest of his name back.
Right. Yeah. Because he's not as good. Then maybe first year, not as great or a good outlook as if he's on the Chargers, but still dynasty wise, he's a top guy.
All right. We've also got Rome.
Sorry. I gotta throw this in before you talk about Rome Odunze. RD says Nabers is what you get if DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett had a baby. And that's like the perfect way to describe him. I like that.
Rome Odunze.
Yeah. Not Roman Day.
I can't mesh this one. Out of Washington, last year he had 1,639 receiving yards and 13 touchdowns.
That's a lot of yards.
It is a lot of yards. I think some potential landing spots could be the Bears. We've got the Chargers and possibly the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze? Oh.
I mean, best
offense the Bears have ever had.
Yes, let's just keep getting all these great people. So his pro comp, supersized Chris Olave.
It's like when you go to McDonald's, can I get the Chris Olave, but supersize it,
please? Can you supersize that? I want it supersized.
Yeah.
he's got some excellent hands. If it weren't for...
I don't like how sexual you said that.
I know.
He's got some excellent
hands. I think if it weren't for the first two guys we talked about being such generational wide receiver talent, he could easily be a top wide receiver in many draft classes.
Agreed, yeah.
With his exceptional
his exceptional hands and supersizing.
Oh man, I made that one just, we're done. So for his fantasy outlook, he won't be as highly drafted as Marvin or Malik. But I think he's still going to be a top tier wide receiver. His floor is wide receiver 2 in fantasy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm calling that.
I agree. Unless he does land on the Bears, because there will be so many mouths to feed.
There will be.
That's the fantasy wise. That's the downfall. Great NFL wise.
Well,
great
do we
for
want,
Bears fans.
We want him to land with us.
Oh yeah.
We want that supersized exceptional hands.
Especially to take over. I mean, Keenan Allen probably doesn't have a lot of good years left, to be honest. I know he's coming off his best one. I get it. But I want to talk about one other guy here. Brian Thomas out of LSU. Malik Nabers, excellent out of LSU, but Brian Thomas was nothing to be shy of either. And he was their touchdown guy. I mean, he had 1,100 yards and 17 touchdowns. I've seen him landing with the Bills and the Steelers. And his pro comp is Martavis Bryant. Maybe a little unfair because Martavis Bryant ended up playing in the XFL last year. He's not in there this year, but he was in there last year. But he was also a Steeler. Brian Thomas has really good hands.
Are they exceptional though?
They're just good. They're not exceptional.
Is he supersized?
He's not supersized either. I think he's probably a wide receiver 2/flex in fantasy. Depends where he goes. I don't think he has the ceiling of a wide receiver 1 though. You know, we talk about like Odunze could be a 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
Nabers and Marvin Harrison. Probably have that wide receiver 1 ceiling. I don't know if Brian Thomas necessarily does.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that, but it depends on his landing spot too. I mean, he could take over and just be the guy for a team. I mean, if you think of a team like the Giants, despite the fact that their quarterback situation isn't great, their wide receiver situation is terrible, and he could just be the guy and put up these big gaudy numbers, even if they aren't winning a bunch of games. So
we've got some other wide receivers that to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Adonai, is that, I'm going to butcher some names.
Adonai.
Mitchell out of Texas. Ladd McConkey.
I want to throw in real quick that Ladd, in my first mock draft I did, the 7-round mock draft, I had him going to the Bills. Now the Bills have traded Steph Diggs, and their Ladd has said that he's met with them. I think they're very interested in Ladd McConkey. So that could become Josh Allen's number one guy.
Mm-hmm. And we've also got Troy Franklin out of Oregon. There's so many Oregon people in this draft.
They had a hell of a year too. Xavier Leggett.
Mm-hmm.
That's another guy out of South Carolina that he's getting a lot of hype from former wide receivers. They're looking at his game tape and being like, this dude's legit. People need to draft him higher than he's projected. And Xavier Worthy out of Texas.
Xavier's.
Yeah, the Chiefs love that guy. I think he ends up on either the Chiefs, especially if Rashee Rice goes away for his little driving incident.
Oh, my goodness.
Or you should have seen the way Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins coach, the way he looked at him, looked like he was in love. And he's a speed guy. He's the one that broke the 40-yard dash record.
Ah, yep.
So, anyways.
We do have, those are our wide receivers. We've got one tight end to bring you guys. Brock Bowers. Last year, he had 717 yards and 6 touchdowns, which doesn't seem like a lot compared to all the stats we just read off.
But for a tight end.
Yeah.
And he did get injured. We were actually at the game he got injured. That was that Vanderbilt game.
Oh.
He went down with an injury. This is one of Josh's, our good buddy Josh Thompson. Mm-hmm. This is one of his favorite players that
well,
has
then
played
I am
going to
talk this guy up.
he's something.
Some potential. Well, he's not a tight end out of Iowa, so we didn't make him.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to throw in some in, but I'll let you finish and then I'll throw it in.
Some potential landing spots that I think I could see him going to. We've got the Jets, the Bengals, the Dolphins. He's a smaller tight end. He's a smaller tight end. I don't know why I'm wording things the way I'm wording them, but here we go. Told you, this is just not my day.
Is he the next Brockhard Bowers? Brockhard Bowers. Anyways.
I don't know. But he's smaller. He's a smaller dude, but he can line up in the slot.
Yeah. How's the slot?
And oh my gosh, I'm dying. I'm killing myself. But I think that despite his size, he could create some matchup nightmares because of his speed. He's a speedy little guy.
Yeah, I mean, he was a guy that at Georgia, they would line him up either at tight end or at the slot. And even though he's a smaller tight end, he's a good blocker. So, I mean, this is a guy that he's going to stay on the field. I see a lot of mocks putting him to the Jets. Mm-hmm. I don't like that as well because Aaron Rodgers doesn't utilize tight ends as much.
He doesn't. So I agree with you. Yeah. Like Aaron Rodgers and his tight ends is a no-go.
Right.
So I would rather, you know, see him not go to the Jets.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what about the Bengals with Joe Burrow? They have to focus on Jamar Chase and T if he doesn't get traded. Can you imagine in a fast offense like that, Brock Bowers, he could make some noise.
And I think, you know, with tight ends, you say like rookies couldn't make an impact, but I just want to throw this out there. Sam Laporta last year, tight end one.
And my boy Kyle Pitts in his rookie year was very good, over 1,000 yards.
Was he a top five or four, tight end for fantasy?
He was relevant. He only scored one touchdown. That was the downsize. But he had a ton of yards.
No. I thought we why are you bringing – I am so done with you talking
Pitts
about –
Pitts passion
no.
is back,
I'm
baby.
Done with you talking about Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is – no. It's done. Overrated. Disappointment is all you're going to get from him.
Fair enough.
All right. So I mentioned earlier, are we ready to get to whiskey? Are we ready for this?
Yeah, that's just a brief overview of the rookies and some of the top names you're going to be seeing. Obviously, where these guys land is going to make a big difference, but it's good to get familiar with them now. Next week, we're going to keep talking about them with Colby Dant. So make
get
sure you
the
come back to
database in here and give you all kinds of crazy stats that he's amazing. Yes. Well, he'll tell you stuff 20 years back and he'll pull out the stats for you.
Yes. It's weird. The things he keeps in the database there.
Yes.
But yeah, let's talk about some whiskey because we've been sipping on it and I need to pour myself a little bit more because apparently I sipped
on
it more than
you. I spilled some of mine and then I got lectured and
there was no lecture. It was a question. Did you spill?
And then there was, I know you, it was the look. I got the look and that said everything. So I got lectured.
We can never get this whiskey again and you're sitting around spilling it.
I don't even know how it happened. So we're drinking 2 Clans from Breckenridge Distillery. And this is a special bottle that was sent to us after we had Brian Nolt from Breckenridge. Well, former owner.
Yes.
Because he did sell the distillery on. And he talked about 2 Clans and how there was only 3 weeks left of this at the distillery. And it was a distillery favorite. Yes. We had to go there to try it and get it.
They were very nice enough to send it.
Yes,
to
and
us.
I'm very excited about this and trying it. And
did you say that was episode 111?
I did not.
Episode 111.
Go back
Brian
and check
Nolt.
It out. That was a really great interview. We had a great time with Brian Nolt.
Especially if you're a Broncos fan.
Exactly. They are the official whiskey of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
So
they
go check them out.
They have a whiskey called Dark Arts, which is a single malt whiskey. And they had this idea of blending it with a scotch. And that's how Two Clans was birthed. It's a blend between dark arts and scotch that they've imported from Scotland, because that's the only place you can make scotch.
Because, Brett, I don't want to give too many spoilers for anybody who might go back and listen to that back on episode 111. But he is a scotch connoisseur. Yeah. He was a doctor before he started Breckenridge Distilling. And whiskey was his hobby outside of, you know, like residency and all those long hours. And he would travel to Scotland and go and, you know, to all different distilleries, try different scotches. And he brought back with him once a $20,000 bottle of scotch.
Yes. I would be afraid to drink it. That's a lot of
money.
And
he just shared it with his staff, his team at the distillery. And oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? $20,000 bottle of scotch.
I cannot.
And whiskey is really, like, it really is meant to be shared. I think that, like, before we even started our podcast, like, we just had this mentality, like, you don't save your really good bottles. Like, you share it with people. Like, you know,
there was we were watching that documentary that we've referenced multiple times.
And Neat. I can't Neat. Yeah. Is it Neat?
It is. It's Neat. It is pretty neat.
No.
But the name of it is also Neat. And the Buffalo Trace guy, who's a, I want to say, fourth or fifth generation, not distiller, but Rickhouse manager.
Rickhouse.
Yep. He was talking about how whiskey was meant to be shared and all that stuff. And I had, like, we were watching it with my parents, who also enjoy whiskey. And I had, like, this much left of Elmer T. Lee, which is a very expensive whiskey. It's probably even more now. Back then, it was like close to a $200 bottle that one of my dad's drivers had given the rest of it for to give to me. And I immediately went, and he's like, you know what? Why am I just letting that sit around? Why? And split that between us. So, but yeah, whiskey is meant to be shared and stuff. But they're going to do more blends. It just won't necessarily be exactly like this. So they will have more blends. Dark Arts is like a kind of, it's like an American-made scotch, basically. That's what they were going for. It's not a peated scotch, but they blended it with a peated scotch. So to me, it's interesting. You get some smokiness.
And the peated, like peat.
Right, yes. You get some of that with this. What do you think of it?
It's really good.
It's smooth, but not without character.
No, there's a lot of character in this.
Yeah.
When I smelled it, I think it was the peat, but I initially thought I was smelling wheat.
Oh, wheat.
Like a weeded.
It's peat, not wheat.
But it's peat, but it's very earthy, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily green, but it was earthy.
Someday I want to go to Scotland. A lot of distilleries, they'll let you dig your own peat. You can dig up your own peat. I just think that'd be cool.
Your own peat?
Yeah, that'd be neat. Be neat to dig your peat.
Can we stop?
Just it's stop. Not weed, it's peat.
Stop.
This would be great with meat. You done now?
I'm so done with you.
I smell it, and I smell you smell a scotch, to be honest.
You do.
Or a single malt, but yeah.
But no, it's very good.
Yeah.
I would not mix it.
We decided not to have the old fashioned. I think that was a good choice. This doesn't seem like a mixer.
It's got legs too. It's thick.
Yeah, it's the taste. I get a lot of smokiness.
Did you chew it yet? Did you chew your whiskey?
No, you talk while I chew, though.
Well,
you can't just
fine.
Have radio silence. Can you see these over there? Rogers may only play 30 seconds again. RD says Pitt's passion is alive and well.
No, get out of here with that.
My dad says you might be hoarding all the whiskey in your office.
No. Okay, I share the whiskey, but I do, like, I don't know. I don't just go hide the good whiskey. I keep it on a shelf in my office.
Don't you have some whiskeys hidden somewhere?
Oh, I do. This is so bad. I do. They're special. They're extra bottles of
you don't get really to taste those.
Therefore, like in 10 years or something. So I'm going to totally contradict myself about, oh, you should share everything. But in like 10 years, like less than 10 years, our 20th anniversary, Justin, if I just brought out the bottle of Jefferson's Oceans Aged at Sea Voyage 23, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can't get that
to
voyage.
Sell on the internet to pay for our trip. Oh, no. That's not what you're going for?
That was my first favorite bourbon.
Yeah.
My first favorite.
Yeah.
Was that voyage, because all the it's not a gimmick. The different voyages taste differently.
They do.
And, you know, because they go to different areas or exposed to different climates, it's very interesting how they all taste different. And Voyage 23 was the very first Voyage we tried, and it still has been my favorite Voyage out of the different Voyages we've tried.
Yeah.
And you can't get it.
Right.
It's not on the shelves anymore. So I bought an extra bottle from Costco when we could still get it, and I hid it in the house.
So I chewed this.
You chewed it.
And so here's some takeaways. Every product we tried with Brian Knoll was phenomenal. It takes, mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell that they're a high end, even though they're this craft distillery and everything. They're very high end. The mouthfeel is really good. Mm-hmm. It's got a thicker texture, not molasses.
Would you say that this, like trying it, I don't know why, but when we tried this, it's like this is a Rocky Mountain whiskey. Like regional.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I'm starting to like.
You're starting to be able to tell regions.
Yeah,
can't
regions.
You? Like I can tell the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I made a comment to you that California whiskeys,
Texas whiskeys have a distinct.
The Texas funk, they call it.
Yeah. But yeah.
Taste of Texas, you call
taste
it.
Taste of Texas.
Yeah, no, we're starting to. And as we train our palate, which the only way to do that is by mm-hmm. drinking some more. So it's.
Well, and a they nice use that Rocky it. Mountain water. I can't remember exactly what river, where it was coming from, it is very, the mineral content and everything mm-hmm. about it really impacts how the whiskey
for sure
comes out after distilling.
Yeah, for sure. This is really good. There's a lot mm-hmm. of character to it. The mouthfeel is good. It's got a smokiness.
Would you say we need to try more scotches?
You know, I'm getting to that point. I'm getting to that point that I do want to start expanding into scotches. I know there's
maybe not a $20,000 bottle of scotch. unless somebody wants to give it to us.
I was going to say, unless you would like to gift it.
I will not accept. Say no.
Yeah. I'm especially interested in getting into more of the peaty mm-hmm. scotches that have that smokiness. Because I like a smokiness for a flavor. Mm-hmm. That's one of the taste profiles that I enjoy. You know, the Texas rye that we were talking about, Balcones Texas rye, has a smokiness to it. They're big scotch fans. They do a lot of their stuff through the lens of a scotch because mm-hmm. that's what they like. Breckenridge, Brian Knoll, big scotch fan. Obviously this is mixed with scotch, but you can tell this is very much with that single malt whiskey that's an American scotch to them and a scotch blend. I don't know. It's really good. Very, very, very much enjoy it. Unfortunately, you probably can't get it, but
if you're in that area in Colorado or you're going to Breckenridge, I definitely recommend stopping by the distillery.
Yeah.
Seeing if you can still get a bottle of it, if they still have it,
and if
or
not,
trying it if it's behind the bar.
Yeah. 100%. And if not, they're going to have more blends coming out that are similar to this, mm-hmm. not the same thing, but similar. And also just go try their dark arts, their single malt. The bottle is freaking cool. I love the bottle and the artwork on the dark arts. But yeah, go try that because I'm sure on its own too. We haven't tried it yet, but I'm sure it's very good. Mm-hmm. It's part of this. So yeah. Anything else you want to add?
I just now got a really caramely taste with the peat.
Did you? Interesting.
Did you get that?
No,
like
I haven't
sweet
yet.
Peat?
Probably not.
Sweet peat. Don't.
You told me not to run.
I know.
My mother pointing out I tried scotch on my 30th. I did. I don't remember the name, but I do remember thinking that scotch wasn't bad.
One bourbon, one scotch.
And one beer.
One beer.
That's what I ordered. I thought they would bring like, you know, a little bit. They filled rock glasses.
I don't know. You were toast before we even got to the distilleries. Or not the distilleries, the breweries.
The breweries. And then I had to order every barrel-aged beer at every place, which is 13% or more. And yeah, it was a loaded
night.
We
are just not. There are many
stories.
I
can't drink like that anymore.
Day.
I cannot drink like I did that night anymore. I would die.
I couldn't drink like that when I was 30. I don't know how you did that.
Well, I was a very practiced drinker from my college years. But I couldn't do that again. I mean, just, yeah, never again. we I know we talk a lot of drinking and a lot of whiskey, but we are very much in belief of moderation. People probably think we're drinking all the time. Not the case. Usually on the podcast.
On the podcast.
About
podcast
it.
Podcast is whiskey night.
Maybe on the weekend if we're with family or friends, we'll have a drink or two. But yeah, other than that, it's not like I wish I was set up to where I could have a whiskey a night just to enjoy. But I just feel like I need to be in a better place of health before I do that. I mean, just
get
saying. I saw a guy. I can't remember his name. He's a famous podcaster. But anyways, he said that he always wants to be in good enough shape and in good enough health to go have a drink. You know, because that's his favorite thing. When friends or family say, you want to grab a drink? Yeah, of course I do. And he always wants to be in that health that he can have a drink and not worry about it. And like, that's how I want to live life. I want to be in that health that if a friend say, hey, you want to get together and have some whiskey? Hell yeah. Because the conversations that come from that, that come from sitting down and having a glass of whiskey or whatever, are always really good, you know? And that's, to me, that's what drinking is. It's conversation. It's getting together and making memories with friends and family. But anyways, I'll get off my whiskey box here.
Your whiskey box. All right, Justin.
RD, I'm behind on the comments. I don't know what we're testing, but let's do it.
We can test it. What are we testing?
Let's do it. You got it, bro. For sure. Do you have anything else to add?
I do want to have you go over again our contest for the month of April. Since it is draft month, we are doing our own version of a draft.
Let me read every item we have. We have a J.K. Dobbins autographed mini helmet. It's the Lunar Eclipse. So it's a white helmet with the purple raven on it.
And it looks sweet.
I wish I could keep it, but we're doing this for you guys. We have a Tyler Algier, however you want to say his name, signed mini helmet for the Falcons. We have Darren Waller. There's actually two autographed Darren Waller jerseys. I got two just because I know the mothership. Ryan Kramer, big Giants fan. Waller, obviously a part of them now. We have Cole Kelly, who's no longer in the league, but he was with the Commanders for a little bit. He was with the UFL, with the Showboats for a minute, and then Case Cook has beat him out of a job. We have Jackson Smith and Jigba, and that's blue, and that's, I guess you would call that lime green.
Lime green.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't know why I agreed
this
with
is my,
teal earlier.
This is my favorite looking jersey that we have. This Jackson Smith and Jigba one. And these are from Pristine Auction. If you're not familiar with their stuff, it's not like the authentic NFL jersey, but it is an authentic autograph. They get a mass of them and just have people sign them. We have a Billy Thompson, who is a Denver Bronco legendary cornerback. So that's one of the oldest players we have in there. We have James Cook, the Buffalo Bill running back jersey that's autographed. We have several Emmanuel Forbes. That was a little bit of an accident, but he was a rookie cornerback last year that did not pan out. But you know what? I heard he's making a comeback. We have D'Andre Swift, which I already mentioned, but it's in his Eagles jersey, not his Bears jersey. Now that he's a Bear, you would think I was going to keep it, but I'm not because we love you guys. And Travis Etienne Clemson jersey, his college jersey autograph. That's going to be worth something someday because – that's a excellent running back for the Jaguars. Now I see, sorry, I got distracted because I saw RD. We could test if I could drink that much. on my 30th, I got scolded for peeing in a parking lot. Luckily, Justin, I did not get arrested for it, but I did get scolded for it. So I don't think I should just throw that out there. But if I do,
I'm just going to have to say this, not just in a parking lot, in the middle of an empty parking lot.
I got honked at. I don't know if it was a honk, we see you, honk, or impressed. I don't know. Probably the first. But yeah, if I do, you're going to be DD and it'll be at the Moose. If you're ever going through Iowa, for our non-Iowa listeners, stop at the Flying Moose. 2-for-1s every day until 8, I believe it is. Unbelievable deals. Every time I go there, it's like, it was only how much? Wait a minute. Are you sure this is right? I always think RD's giving me that friend discount, but that's just his prices. So, and it's just a fun place. Sports on all the time.
All the time.
Yes. I feel like I want to get a side job as a bartender at the Moose just so I could watch more sports. But like, sorry, honey, I got to go to work and watch all these college football games. Got to do it, you know.
You do it anyway.
I don't get, eyes on as much college games as I'd like to.
As you'd like to.
You saw me this weekend, Easter weekend, with my phone in my pocket watching UFL. Just, oh, yeah, yep. There will be UFL on this weekend. Mm-hmm. We're going to be celebrating birthdays, yours, mine, and my dad's. By the way, Colby Dant, the Dantabase, and CJ Sullivan, the man in the box, or the bet detective. Both said to wish you and my dad happy birthday. So before I forget, but yeah, there will be some UFL action going on for that too. So you have anything else you want to add?
No, Justin, I think you've done a great job. Did you tell people where they go for that?
Oh, for the contest.
Yeah, SG, no, you got off on a tangent.
sg.pn/OFF contest, off contest. I'll put it in the chat right now too, just in case. You want it written out to make sure you go to the right place. And all you got to do is give your email. If you refer somebody, you get extra points. So tell your friends and a screenshot of you being subscribed on YouTube. That's it.
Yep.
And that gets you entered. But yeah, every person that puts you down as a referral gets you an extra entry.
Absolutely.
So that's a big deal, really. I mean, because there's unlimited entries. So if you refer 100 people, you have 101 entry if you're subscribed to us as well. So
this wheel will be off the charts.
It will be. And you can, if you're on there more than once, you can win more than once. Because if you're on there only once, you know, you'll be removed. But if you're on there 100 times, it's just that one winning that gets removed. You could end up winning multiple times. Mm-hmm. So anyways, anything you want to add? This is really good whiskey. I'm excited for the draft. It's going to shake up the NFL like it does every
year.
We're
3 weeks out, people.
3 weeks away. And yeah, that's all I got. Is that all you got?
That is all I've got.
All right. And my whiskey's about gone. I wish I had some, could pour some more, but I feel like since we can't get this again, I have to savor a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. All right. Going once, going twice.
Sold.